And welcome once again to Cherish Ephesians 6:4. Hope you are doing well today. This week's article recording is titled, "When Fleeing is the Wisest Thing You Can Do." I once knew a great Christian man. From a very early age, he walked closely with God and was used by God in many wonderful ways. During his younger years, he was challenged by a number of events that would cause most men to question God's goodness and plan, and maybe even walk away from his faith, but yet he was steadfast in his trust of God and the deliverance that he believed God would ultimately bring. As the years moved toward maturity, his reputation for the love of God became well known to many people. And God was with him through all the trials and tribulations, and God exalted this man into higher and higher positions of power. He literally could command others to obtain for him whatever he wanted, and was clearly living a life that was amazing in every way. However, one day, he was overtaken by something he never saw coming. Things had gotten so good for him that he no longer had to work as hard as he did in the past. He delegated even the most important things to others, and his daily routine became quite bland. He often spent great parts of the day on his deck, scanning the homes in his luxurious neighborhood. And as he gazed at the homes nearby, he saw a beautiful woman bathing. Rather than look away, he strained to see more of her. The more he looked, the more his desire grew, and eventually, he used his power to bring that woman into his home, and they had sexual relations. He knew that she was already married, but that didn't stop him. In fact, his lusts were now completely out of control, and instead of repenting, he devised a way to cover the fact that she was now pregnant. Not having success with the cover-up, he created a diabolical plan to have her husband killed. And sadly, the plan worked, and my friend almost got away with it. But I found out and confronted him. It was on that fated day that his life would never be the same. He brought shame on his God. His reputation was destroyed, and his position and power began a downward slide that he never really recovered from. Well, as you may have guessed, that was a semi-fictional account from Nathan the prophet concerning King David, a man after God's own heart. My point in writing this is to prove that even the greatest Christian is just one decision away from falling into a terrible sin or sequence of sins. This kind of temptation and the decisions that must be made are taking place every day in the workplaces across America. And by the way, I can write these articles as a man for men, but the fact is, 47% of the workforce in America is now made up of women, and a great many of these women are in management positions and have a level of power in the workplace. Therefore, what follows here applies both to men and women. It is interesting that in the first four chapters of the book of Proverbs, it stresses the need for wisdom and trusting God and for all your ways. But then, the fifth chapter addresses adultery. The sixth chapter speaks to a number of issues, but again comes back to warnings against adultery. And in the seventh chapter, guess what? More warnings about adultery. Clearly, God intends us to understand that this is a huge problem for men and women. Let's look at Solomon's wise words to us and make it practical. He writes in chapter 5, verses 3 through 6, "For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it." He is saying that you need to watch out for the woman who compliments you the way you dress, the way you comb your hair, your physique, your pretty eyes, your work ethic, and so on. When a man hears these kinds of words, he feels very good about himself, and even if none of it is true, his pride will not let him see what's happening. The reality is, those smooth words are working to drive a sword through his heart. This kind of woman may even be a professing Christian, possibly making it easier for a man to lower his defenses. However, Solomon says her steps follow the path to Sheol, and she does not know the way of her life. In other words, this is likely the activity of a non-believer. Solomon goes on in chapter 6, verse 25, "Do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes." There is a moment when a man sees with his eyes the beauty of a woman. There's no sin in the initial thought, but when that thought is nurtured, it becomes sinful lust. And the more it is nurtured, the more powerful the lust becomes. King David was not guilty of noticing the beauty of Bathsheba, but he chose not to look away, and that's when the sinful path began. Solomon writes in chapter 5, verse 8, "Keep your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house." Of course, David took the opposite path. He chose to bring her close where all his senses would have been involved in thinking about Bathsheba. When the Bible says that he noticed her bathing and she was beautiful, I'm quite sure that he was not fixated on her beautiful eyelashes. But now, immediately in his presence, his eyes would have been able to take in the full measure of her beauty, and his nose would have inhaled her scent. If you have a woman that you find attractive in your workplace, you must keep your distance. This will mitigate the temptation to smell the wonderful perfume and listen to her honey-like words. Spending time in the presence of a person like that can only open up the door to ungodly thoughts. And by the way, I will reiterate that all of these things that men can experience with women, women can experience with men. This seemingly innocent interaction in the workplace or elsewhere can grow into a sinful situation. We all need to understand that we get a quote-unquote feel-good from the opposite sex. When that happens, we are at risk and need to act. We need to flee. Solomon writes in chapter 6, verses 27 through 28, "Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and not have his feet be scorched?" So here are a bunch of practical do-nots to help avoid the common opportunities for temptation. First, at work. Do not stay late in the office alone. Do not plan business trips with women. Do not hire a woman that you find attractive. Whoa, wait. Am I violating some kind of modern discrimination law or objectifying women by that statement? No, I'm just inferring the weakness of the flesh of men. I go on, do not hire a woman who doesn't dress modestly. Do not go out to lunch with a woman. Beware of the over-perfumed woman. That may be a plain indication that she's looking for attention. How about at home? Do not contact old flames on social media. Do not fool with dating sites. Do not go into chat rooms. How about leisure time? Do not go to the gym without your spouse. Do not go to bars alone with a friend group. Do not go to the neighborhood pool. And here's a bonus for you. Be on guard against the white knight syndrome. What is that? The white knight syndrome happens when a man attempts to help a damsel in distress. That is, a woman who's going through a difficult situation and needs help. This may cause the relationship to become inappropriately close and give opportunity for sin. If there is a damsel in distress, find a godly woman to help her. The same applies if there's a struggling man. He needs another man to give him support, not a woman. Okay, so those are some of the negatives. Are there positive things that must be done to avoid sexual sin? Yes, and it's called choosing to think about the things that God has called you to think about. Proverbs 5, 18 through 23 says, "Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you at all times with delight, be intoxicated always in her love." And in the next two passages, they tell us that the only thing that will keep us from sin is to know and be saturated in God's Word. Proverbs 6:20-24. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you are awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light. And the reproofs of discipline are the way of life to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. And chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. And call insight your intimate friend to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. Brothers and sisters, the temptation to sexual sin is constant, and we need to be on guard. Do not be the fool who thinks you are impervious to these kinds of temptations. If you're a human being born into this world since Adam and Eve, it can happen to you. And there are probably many people you know who could use these reminders. I encourage you to please pass this week's post on to them. Thanks for listening. See you next time.